Off the Ball, GAA.
But with the new rules, you feel like you don't understand the game anymore to an extent, in that, you know, these 8, 10, 12 point leads do not mean anything like what they used to before.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now, Allianz are a top sponsor of the Olympic Federation of Ireland and Paralympics Ireland as well. Today, they've announced partnerships with Paralympic bronze medalist Orla Comerford as their new brand ambassador. Orla will be working with Allianz to support initiatives that promote para sport inclusion and youth engagement as well, including Allianz's Next Gen program, which aims to inspire young people with disabilities to participate in sport and to pursue their dreams in athletics as well. Orla is with us now. Orla, how are you keeping?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you. I think you're mid-training camp at the moment?
No, I'm just back from training camp, so caught me at a good time.
Good, good, good. Tell me this, it's obviously been a good few weeks, just if we go back maybe to, in a way, I guess the thing that probably kicked off your season, which was that mixed para meeting as part of the European Indoors where you picked up a gold medal. That must have been a very nice way to kick off the season.
Yeah, look, it was a really nice way to come back. And I suppose after Paris as well, when you're coming back to an indoor season, doing the 60 metres, there's kind of a bit of expectation, maybe just personally, that you kind of want to perform. And so to have that opportunity and to be able to step out and perform in that fashion, I think was a really a big win for me. And it's kind of set the tone. I'm feeling really excited for the season ahead. And again, like, it's a really nice way to start the season, because not only is it with a good run and at a great competition, but it's representing para sport at a high level, and I think that's something that's really important to me. And like you mentioned, that Next Gen program and stuff, and so to be able to be working with Allianz to make sure that that's something that's really important, that inclusion in sport and creating opportunities for people is really important. So I think to start that the season in that tone was, yeah, it was really special.
Had you given yourself a bit of extra time after the Paralympics to recover, or what did the few months after September look like for you?
To be honest, I didn't take a huge amount of time off. I suppose for me, I was starting in with a new training group, so I didn't really want to, you know, leave myself too far on the back foot. But I was coming back much later than the rest of the group. So the group had started back in October. I had been doing a bit of work myself to keep ticking over, and then joined them in November. So the indoors hadn't really been on the cards for us. And so when the opportunity came around and the training was going well, and we thought, right, let's go for it. And so it was a fairly short indoor season for me. The main focus is for the outdoor season, but I suppose it was just nice to come back from Paris. And I know some people like that time off, and, you know, maybe I should have given myself a little bit more of a window, but I was so hungry to get back into it and to start with a new group and a new coach. Like, I just was really, really excited, and I still am, and I'm glad. I think it was the right decision, and so hopefully full steam ahead for the outdoors.
All right, well, tell me about the thought process then, changing around in coaching and changing around your preparations. What's the reason for making the change?
Look, I just think I needed a change. I needed to be pushed and to be challenged by new people. I think change is sometimes a scary thing, and when things go well and you win a medal, people think, oh, I'll leave everything the same. And I suppose for me, I'm hungry for more. I want to push myself further. I want to be in a group that pushes me further and just put myself out of my comfort zone a little bit. So with a 4-year window now, that's when I thought, right, now is the chance. I'll make the move, and hopefully it's something that suits me, and then I have 4 years to build on that. But if you make a move and it's not the right fit, then you have the time to work with it. But I'm really glad to say I think it has been the right move, and it's something that I'm really excited for. And I suppose as well to be looking at the next 4 years into LA and to have like a sponsor on board like Allianz, it feels really exciting, because I feel like, so you know what I mean, I'm being backed, and I feel really excited about it, because it gives me an opportunity to be able to focus on pushing myself further each season to, you know, set higher goals and go for them. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, because having that financial assurance makes a big difference. I was talking to Eve McChrystal a few weeks ago, and she was saying that was a huge part of why she had stayed around after when she went to the Rio Paralympics. She kind of went, okay, I either have to take this incredibly seriously and go full time, but I have to be in a position where I have that money where it actually justifies doing it.
Absolutely. And because at the end of the day, like, nobody really gets into the sport for the money of it or the glitz and glam of it. It's hard work. It's tough work. And it's expensive work. Like, you know, you're flying around to different competitions to get qualifying times, to get good races. And so there is always an element. And for me, there's always been an element of that kind of insecurity around how to fund it. And we're so lucky here in Ireland to have Sport Ireland funding. But again, like, anything can happen and, you know, you might lose that or whatever. So I think for me to have a sponsor on board for 4 years, it's the first time I've ever had a big sponsor. And as well, it's a sponsor that's the name sponsor for both Olympics and Paralympics. I think that's a really important thing as well, that they're putting a real emphasis and importance on both of those things as being equal, and that the representation there is really important and it matters. So I think for me, it creates a sense of security into the next 4 years that allows you to dream big. It allows you to push harder and on, because you know that there's someone there in your corner.
Take me back then to that Tuesday night at the Paralympics, the T13 100 metres final. It was kind of remarkable. We were watching it on TV, so it was almost like the bronze hour, because Róisín Nareen had just won a bronze in the pool at the same time as well. Bit of a slow start for Team Ireland, but what an hour it was for you guys.
I don't think I'll ever forget that feeling. Like, even now, I feel like I've goosebumps thinking about it. And like, even coming off the track into the mix zone, and me being like, what? How did Róisín go? And then they were like, oh, she got bronze too. So like, I didn't know about it. And then finding out in the mix zone, like the excitement, and then like even meeting up with my family and hearing their stories of sitting in the stadium, and I'm coming out and setting up my blocks, and they kind of have the phone open and they're watching Róisín in the pool. And you know what I mean? They're kind of looking back and forth. They just said it was like, it was electric. And to have been a part of that is just, it feels like such a privilege. And like, Róisín is a phenomenal athlete. So to be come in behind her and follow her bronze with another, yeah, it was really special.
And I noticed as well, not long afterwards, you were already talking about potentially building on this bronze medal. So there was no doubt whatsoever you weren't going to LA at the end of this cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I know some athletes say like, God, like, and reporters are asking athletes what they're doing, like, give them a minute, they've just come off the track. But sure, I did the exact opposite, bounced off the track and was like, I can't wait for LA. So I definitely set myself up for that. But I'm really excited. I want to be ambitious for LA. I want to kind of, I think you have to speak things into existence a little bit. And I want to put it out there that I'm going for LA, that I'm going full send for it, that I'm really excited to push hard. And I think it's an exciting 4 year cycle as well. I think the last couple of years, with obviously the 3 year cycle into Paris after Tokyo, and I had some injuries and things were rocky. So I'm kind of looking forward to hopefully getting a really strong 4 year run into LA, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's probably going to take something close to a world record to win a medal when LA comes around. Like, even when we go back to Paris, it took two world records to get the silver and gold ahead of you.
Yeah. Look, I think that world record is now, I think over the next 4 years, that's up for grab every year. I think that's something all of us are pushing towards. It's something we want, that record to get faster. We want, all of us want to go faster. We all want to win. There's good competition there for it. So I'm not shy to say that has to be the goal, you know, that you have to be pushing for that if you want to make gold. And so that keeps me honest and it keeps me working hard, because that's what it's going to take.
For those who might not be familiar with your story, when it comes to your eyesight and the impairment that you have with your eyesight, it was kind of maybe in your early teens that this was first diagnosed?
Yeah, so I had no issues in my eyesight up until the age of 11. I came back from my summer holidays into class, couldn't read my books anymore, couldn't read the boards. And like any normal child, I just kind of thought maybe I needed glasses. And then we went about the process of finding out that I have something called Stargardt. So it basically means that my central vision deteriorates over time. So I'd had no deterioration as a child and then had lost a lot of my eyesight quite quickly. But we spent our summers in Donegal, like running around on the beach and the grass. Like, there was no TV, no Wi-Fi, so I hadn't really noticed. And then obviously back into school I noticed, and my life changed and shifted at that stage. But I think, to be honest, it's my eyesight has gotten much worse since that point, but I've been lucky in that I haven't lost a huge amount over time. It's gradual, so I'm always kind of just adapting and learning to do things, or I might figure out, oh, do you know what, something that was a challenge is now harder to do, or something that was easy to do in the past is now a bit of a challenge. So it's just adapting and learning and growing. But I think that lends in really nicely to sport, because nothing ever, you know, the plan A in sport never happens. Is you always have to be a bit flexible, and you control the controllables, but you remain open and creative to just figuring out things as you go. And I think my eyesight has taught me to be resilient in those spaces, and I think that's really supported my running, you know.
Yeah, and you had a determination to keep going with sport. That was never a question, really.
No, to be honest as well, I was so stubborn as a kid, and I could sense a change. Like when my eyesight was diagnosed and coaches or people found out about it, I could sense that some people didn't think I would be any good anymore, or that they thought that meant like, oh, she can't do that, or that's something that's going to limit her. And I could feel that energy and I just really hated it. I was just like, well, I'll show them, like, you know, there's no reason I can't do that. And then I had coaches or parents who supported me and were like, yeah, off you go, like, you can do anything you want to do if you put your mind to it. So I think for me that was really important, and it's been the absolute making of me. And I think that's why it's so nice, especially alongside Allianz, to be involved in different programs like the Next Gen program, getting the next generation of para athletes into the systems, into clubs, into training, doing the Dare to Believe, going out to schools, telling kids to like go after their dreams, no matter who they are, what people have to say about them, whatever their dreams are, that they can go for it, and encourage people to stay in sport as well. Because I think things got really tricky for me as my eyesight progressed and all my friends were leaving sport. I didn't want to drop out of sport because sport was so important to me. And so I think to be in a position where you can hopefully inspire the next generation of people to stick with it, to stay with their sport, to find meaning in it, to get involved, I think is a really a privileged position to be in.
Do you enjoy being a role model? I mean, again, you were all over the videos after the Paralympics. Again, when someone wins a medal straight away, you become very much front and centre. Obviously, as part of this campaign, you're going to be a role model for the next generation of para athletes. But how does being a role model sit with you?
I do find it a bit funny. Like, I don't know if it's the kind of Irish way to be like, oh God, no, not me now. But I do, look, I had role models. There were people that I looked up to, and I wouldn't be where I am in my sport if I hadn't had them there. I wouldn't have thought there was a space for me. I wouldn't have thought it was an option for me. So I'm not naive to the fact that now, because of my results, and that's not what you go into the career for, and that's not what you want to win a medal for. But inevitably, that's actually what it means. And that's kind of the point. Like, now when you have the medal, the point is that you bring that to the schools and you share it with kids and you share your story, your challenges, your triumphs, successes and failures, and hopefully that inspires them. And then that actually becomes almost the more important thing, that you're going out on the track not only to represent yourself and run fast, but you kind of want to represent other people. You want to give them the kind of push to stay with their sport or whatever that is. And like, it can feel a little bit uncomfortable at stages, but it's a huge honour and a privilege to be in that position.
What's lovely as well, again, from reading your story, is that you don't forget the people that kind of got left behind along the way as well. Can I ask you about the Blue Ribbons, the Dublin Blue Ribbons, which remember your friend Elaine Moran that you had. Obviously, that was a special moment for you too.
Yeah, it's actually something I've always done, like Rio, Tokyo, Paris. I've always had my blue ribbons. I suppose Elaine passed when we were in school, so she was 16. And like 2 years later, I was in Rio. So it was really, it is still something that is with me always. And Elaine is always kind of in my mind. But I suppose when I have those big moments, I like to have her there with me and have her, maybe it's in my hair and the ribbons are tied through my shoes or onto my backpack. I kind of always have her there because I think about the privilege of the moment that I'm in, the opportunity I have, and it just really pushes me. And I think Elaine was an incredibly vivacious character. She had real grit about her and determination, and she was a real character. So it kind of reminds me to be myself, to push myself, and that the moment is bigger than just me, that the moment has significance beyond me. I think that can help to put that in perspective a little bit for me. So it was really lovely, I suppose, that there was a bit of notice around it after Paris, because then she had set up, and her family set up, the Blue Ribbon Foundation, which raises money for families who have kids who are in Great Ormond Street receiving care for heart conditions. And it allows families to go over to be with the kids and to support them and support the families in looking after a loved one. And Elaine's family are incredible. And so I think for that to reach more people and for her family to hear about it, and like, Elaine is very much alive in all of our hearts and our memories. So it was really special to be able to share that and to kind of make contact with them on that front again as well.
Yeah. And you lost your coach, Brian Corcoran, before Tokyo. But again, what I thought was lovely was that some of Brian's family were there to watch you succeed last year.
Yeah, Brian's wife Connie and his son Rob were both out, and that was really, really special to me. And Jenny and Barry were both at home watching it and sending back pictures and messages. And like, Brian was so pivotal in my career. Like, I was with Brian for 8 years. Brian was kind of the first coach that I moved to when I started to take athletics more seriously. It was kind of that 15, 16 year old kind of fourth year in school. I had a bit more time on my hands and I wanted to really step it up. I wanted to commit myself, and And Brian was someone who, he saw something in me and he believed in me. And that belief was really what helped me flourish, because I stepped into a senior group. It was all senior athletes. I was the teenager who was kind of a bit fresh and new in the door. And Brian really looked after me, and he took me under his wing. And so, to be honest, like, I wouldn't be where I am in the sport without him. He's taught me so much, not only about my sport and what it is to work hard in my sport, but also what it is to be a well-rounded athlete, to be able to take the wins on and off the track, to be able to learn from one experience and have it lend to another. And so then to have Connie and Rob there was really special, because they knew how much the moment was for me. And then that Brian, he wasn't there in the flesh with us, but he was very much there in spirit with us. You know, like, it was all, it kind of all played out thanks to him, and we had him to thank in that moment. And so to be able to share that with them was really special.
Tell us about your fine arts interest then, because one of the photos that really stood out after the Paralympics itself was when you got your bronze medal. You had the nails totally done and very carefully done before the presentation, obviously naturally before the race as well. So obviously you've always had an eye for the art then.
Yeah, definitely. It's always been something I've been really passionate about. And I suppose I always feel so lucky to find one passion in life is a blessing. But to find two, like, sport and athletics has been always something that's been a driving force for me. But art has also as well, like, all the way through school, it was something that really resonated with me. And I had a great art teacher in school who encouraged me to kind of go after that. Just like I had a great coach on the track who pushed me. She kind of pushed me and said, like, well, why don't you go and study that in college? So I took the kind of maybe more less traditional athlete's approach, and I went to NCAD, and that was, to be honest, that was the making of me. Like, it was so nice to be somewhere that challenged me, that pushed me creatively. And I think that lends to, like, who I am, yeah, a little bit more. Like, I feel it's a way to express myself. It's a lovely outlet for my creativity, but it's also something that's really nice to have separate from running, like, to have a space where you can kind of switch off the running brain for a minute and, like, get invested in a piece of work, or, you know, get invested in a conversation with a group of people who have no idea that your world championships are next week, you know? So I think for me, it's something that's really nice to balance with my sport. So I think, yeah, and then when you're on the track, being able to bring that little bit of kind of personality with the nails or the clips or whatever it is kind of a bit of fun.
Forgive me for asking a question I hate to ask athletes, which are kind of goals for the season ahead, because it's always one of those where you go, look, maybe I don't set specific goals. But off the back of, you know, a good start with winning the medal in the indoor, and now, as you say, you've got the outdoor season coming. What is your hope for the rest of this year then?
Look, I'm definitely really ambitious for this year. Like, I want to go faster than I did last year. I want to be stronger. I want to be in a more competitive position. I mean, I suppose that's every athlete's answer to an extent, is just every year to get faster and stronger. But I think I want to be able to learn from maybe some of the things last year and work on maybe some of my weaknesses and bring those on, but not forget about my strengths, that I can push myself in each aspect. And so for me, I think the big goals are that my world championships, obviously that's where I want to be able to be at my best and perform. And so, like, it took two world records to get bronze or gold and silver in Paris last year. So I don't think that there's going to be any drop in that sort of level of performance and intensity. So that's kind of where I have to set my eyes if I want to be going any better. But also, as a part of that, I think when I look at the whole season, I think there's hopefully going to be opportunities and important opportunities like the indoors had, where there's going to be para athletics on a wider stage, whether that's Diamond Leagues or whether that's, you know, at national championships or whatever it is, that there's kind of an opportunity for people to see more para athletics. And that for me is also a huge goal for the season, as much as, like, my times and the results are kind of my main focus. That has to be something, you know, when we were talking about the next gen, or we were talking about stopping the drop, that you show people, the more that you turn up on their screen in front of them, the more they understand what it is that you do.
It's like, it's a wonderful way to showcase, because you're on national TV at the same time in a packed out venue.
Exactly. So that for me is another really important goal, because it's like I made that point with Elaine as well, that, like, that the sport is more than just you and one result. It's bigger than that. And so being able to kind of take yourself out of that moment and that race and that time, because that's obviously all you think about as an athlete, but being able to step back from that and realize, like, I want to be part of something bigger. I want to be part of a change or part of a shift. And so that's for sure a really important goal for me as well.
Final one for you. I know you're happy enough to be a role model, but you're going to be one of the leaders of the team when LA comes around now as well. So some of those multiple Paralympic athletes are now gone. Ellen Keane has retired. Nicole Turner has retired. You're going to be one of the old stagers going into your fourth Paralympics. How do you feel about being one of the leaders of the team when it comes around?
Yeah, it feels a bit weird, like, to be honest. And Greta Strumikita and I always joke about when we came in that Michael McKillop and Jason Smith were kind of like the big duo, you know, like they set the example for everybody. They were, you know, they'd been there, done that so many times and been successful. So someone made some comparison to the two of us at this Games and we were like, oh, we're far too young for that. And now they start around LA and I think we might have to give in to the fact that that's who we are now in the group. But look, that obviously comes with that's a great honor as well for people to look to you, and so I think, yeah, look, I'm excited for LA. I feel really confident about it. I think it's going to be a great Games for Ireland, and I really hope that it's going to be a really successful 4 years, and that being that role model isn't just about being there at the championships, it's about every moment in between now and then. It's about showing up for para sport, even when it's not the Paralympics, that's something that's at the forefront. So for me, that's super important.
Yeah, worse people you could compare to than Dr. McKillop and Jason Smith along the way.
Absolutely.
Orla, it's been a pleasure to have you on. The very best of luck with the summer season as well. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Off the Ball Daily.